Gator Dave down in Duval County always joins us in this slot. Dave, how you been, bud?
I'm good, Bill. How about you, man?
We were talking earlier, and it was just a brief moment on the show, about big-name recruits who did not sign on signing day and actually waited well into the spring. And I was just thinking Terrell Pryor did it. It might have been May for him. Roquan Smith, awesome linebacker, shunned UCLA, waited a while, then signed with Georgia. Does Florida have one of those that I'm – University of Florida that I'm forgetting? Is there one that comes up?
The most recent one was actually, he just announced he was coming back for his senior season with C.T. Jefferson in Jim McElwain's first year out of Baker County, not too far away from here in Jacksonville.
And, that's right.
His dad wouldn't let him sign the papers originally on signing day. So I believe it was probably, it's like 4 or 5 days, I think. It might have got to a week. I don't think it did, but there wasn't one that comes to mind where months went by and you were still wondering. But that's the most recent one, and it's big now that C.C. Jefferson's coming back for his senior season and how he can fit to this Todd Grantham defense instead of going to the NFL. But that's the most recent one that comes to mind for the Gators for me, Bill.
I had forgotten about that one because that's a topic we don't bring up much. There are probably some bigger ones that I'm forgetting too out there. Are there any others from the state of Florida you can remember that went somewhere else, like Florida State or Miami, that fall into that category?
Not off the top of my head.
I can't.
That's a weird little scenario. And I'm surprised that it doesn't happen a lot more often. These kids, they don't have to sign on signing day, that's what we call it, just because everybody does it. But they have a few months to make their decision before they try and go somewhere. But it seems like they all want everybody, because of course the coaches want to know, so they're not the roster and the recruiting class is not in flux for a couple months, and you're not waiting on a scholarship to give somebody. So it helps the coaches if they know where all these players are going. But I'm just really surprised you don't see more high-profile players hold these programs hostages in a way, and not really doing it on purpose, but still not really being sure of their decision when it comes to early February, and that being the time. Now they've had plenty of time to think about it, so of course that's why most of them make the decision. But I am really surprised that it doesn't happen often, but probably because the coaches kind of pressure them into making the decision because they don't want their own roster in flux.
Larry Scott has been added to the roster, replacing, I guess, Juwan Sider, right?
He is, yes. At tight ends coach, the rumors were when Dan Mullen hired his new staff and Juwan Sider was moved to tight ends coach instead of running backs coach or quarterback coach, that that didn't sit too well with him. And I don't really blame him. If his ultimate goal is to be an offensive coordinator or a head coach in the future or whatever, I guess it might could look like a step down from running back coach to tight end coach, only being there at Florida for 1 year, and you had success with the running backs position last year. They took a step forward with some young guys. And also his role in recruiting, and really that recruiting that South Florida area, his reputation known for that. So, it was kind of surprising, but I think I even brought it up on the podcast last week. Last Wednesday was the day we got word of Sider leaving and going to Penn State. And Larry Scott was one of the first names I brought up who should be his replacement. And the very next day, we got it, and that happened. And I think it's a good fit. His ties to Florida, coaching at Miami and South Florida, he has ties there. Has coached tight ends before, offensive coordinator at Tennessee last year. Now, a lot of people, I've talked to some Tennessee people, say, well, you'll be okay as long as he's not calling plays. Well, that's good. Dan Mullen will be calling the plays. So he can slide right in and coach those tight ends. And hopefully, that's a position that's kind of fallen off of the Florida's production, DeAndre Goolsbee, Siante Lewis. And now you have some new guys that can come in and maybe get some things done as well. But, you will see Greg Nord, he got slammed from Gator fans these past few seasons under Jim McElwain. And it really looked like that position had really, after Jake McGee left, Jim McElwain's first year, that position had really fallen off. So hopefully Scott can come in and turn around that position.
Florida's ranked number 17 right now. Where do you think this will end up?
I say close to top 10, Bill. I say 10, 11, 9, 10, 11, somewhere in that range. There's still Got room for about 8-9 more guys that they'll fit in. And, of course, you know, this past weekend, they had some names that are really they're looking good for right now. We'll see where it goes. But also, you know, it's headlined by Nicholas Petit-Pierre, 5-star offensive tackle, out in probably a Florida-Alabama battle. He will visit Ohio State this weekend, has a connection with Greg Schiano from his days down in Tampa. There. So, you know, we'll see if Florida can get him, that big 5-star offensive lineman. That definitely helps. But, you know, Jacob Copeland will visit this weekend, big-time wide receiver. Looks to be a Florida-Alabama battle there as well. You know, we'll kind of see Tennessee will be in that mix as well. So I think that's a three-way battle. Most people are still crystal balling him to Florida right now. They had them. Petit Frere's got some crystal balls from Florida. But I'm hearing conflicting reports on Petit Frere. Say in Alabama or say in Florida, but Copeland, a lot of people were thinking Florida there, but, you know, Florida got the big-time commitment with Watkins last week, so that can get them up, you know, to that 17th range, but they still got a few big names on the board. Noah Boykin as well, the DB out of Maryland. Florida's had some good success in the past out of the DMV area, so if he can come in and create that or continue that reputation of Joe Hayden and Derek Harvey when they came in and had success under Urban Meyer, maybe Boykin can be that type of player from the same region to get there. It really looks like he's a Florida after visiting Florida last weekend, or you know, two visit weekends ago. You know, it looks like he's primed to flip. He decommitted from Maryland last week. It looks like he's primed to flip to Florida. So big names left out there where Florida will kind of shoot up the rankings. And, you know, we'll kind of see that one surprise this past weekend was getting Malcolm Lamar on campus, and he wasn't going to take any more visits. Okay, he was a shoe-in to FSU, come out of that Florida visit, talking really, really high about Florida and, like, how he fits into this Todd Grantham defense, how he can fit into the middle of that 3-4. And maybe move around just a little bit, but he likes the way Florida was able to sell the program. He was raised a Gator fan. He was a Gator fan growing up. He looked like he was going to follow Willie Taggart to Oregon. Taggart comes to FSU, looks like he was going to go there as well. So that's a name to watch out for. And also Andrew Chatfield, another 4-star that Florida's in on, looks to be primed to go to Florida after a visit. Well, it looks to be a Florida-Miami battle. When he decommitted from Ohio State last fall, looked like he was a shoe-in to commit to Jim McElwain and that staff, coaching staff kind of, you know, firing, shake some things up there. But we'll see, you know, Florida's in good shape and press him over the weekend. So there's plenty of big names, 5-stars, 4-stars that will help Florida shoot up the rankings come National Signing Day.
Brandon tweets at Billis King. He says, what about Alex Collins? Did he not sign right away with Arkansas? Remember, he's – something going on because Charlie Partridge, who I had on the show a yep. bunch, was his guy, and he was from the same area down in Fort Lauderdale that got him to Arkansas for Bielema. And something about his mom wouldn't sign the papers. So I don't remember. I don't think that went on a long time after signing, though. Maybe a week?
Right. Yeah, I don't think it was a big time wait either. But, yeah, I mean – like we said, you know, it won't take long if these guys aren't signing right away. You're probably looking at about a week or so before these coaching staffs start getting antsy.
And he was that year, if not the top ranked running back, he was certainly in the top couple. I remember that. I mean, everybody wanted that guy, and the big thing was Miami couldn't even keep him home. You know.
Right, and Florida was in the mix too as well, was under Will Muschamp. And I think, was Randy Shannon on staff at the Arkansas at that time too? Was it Shannon and Partridge trying to get him there?
Might have been.
I can't remember that. Yeah.
Might have been. Interesting. Well, how is this? I'm going to double back on a question we've already been over, I think, last week. But this January, since you're on the Gators and you're tracking players that they are pursuing, is it still the same feel for you this January as previous Januaries where there wasn't really an early signing period?
Right now, yes, just because the visits are going so crazy and you still have the room that Florida has going on. And it really did continue this past weekend to where you see they have the locker room fixed up for pictures, and Dan Mullen is taking the recruits to the gymnastics and the basketball game and letting them see how the crowd interacts with different other sporting events besides football. And you see current players on social media tweeting out videos of Richard Garage and Andrew Chatfield and showing like how they're enjoying the process at Florida. You know, it is different from a Dan Mullen to Jim McElwain type of the comparison there. You know, McElwain, you know, last year had that big, huge haul on signing day, and you know, squeezing in James Robinson, you know, who can no longer play for Florida, but it was a way to make a splash on signing day in that last week of going into signing day last year. And it looks like, you know, this is kind of going to be similar this year for Dan Mullen and company. I will wonder if it will change. You know, the 2019 class will be his first full class of not guys that will be left over from the previous staff. You know, Florida's got some decommits from the 19 class, another one yesterday. So kind of just starting from scratch in that 2019 class, not really many holdovers that committed to Jim McElwain and his staff. But, you know, right now, just comparing past signing days and the way it's now split up into two, right now for Florida, it still seems to be the same, with just so much room left and so many big names on the board and still competing with Florida State and Miami for a couple signees. That hasn't changed quite yet, but we'll see what happens next year when it looks like, you know, from early reviews, I think I read something over the weekend where high school players are really being asked about how December signing days affected them and waiting till January. And a lot of them really did seem to like that December signing day. So I guess, you know, if it was the NCAA's reasons were to help the student athlete, now they probably succeeded there. But it looks like these coaches don't really care for it too much.
Tell everybody how they can get your podcast, Gators Breakdown.
Can get Gators Breakdown on iTunes, Google Play, YouTube, TuneIn Radio, all those sites. You know, some big things coming up with signing day as well. Bill will probably have an announcement next week concerning the podcast. Some good things coming there. Getting bigger, getting better. So we'll, you know, announce that next week. But big things are coming for the podcast.
I don't know how much you interact with him, but I saw on Twitter the other day that Peter Ariz, who's been on this show a few times, is getting out of the business. What's up with that?
Yeah. I saw the whispers on Twitter about that as well. I don't know what happened there, but
I don't either.
We'll see. Down south is really popular for Hurricane fans down there and everything. Well, it's kind of surprising. So I don't know if it was hopefully not personal and, you know, just a reason to, you know, just for personal reasons to just to maybe get out of it and pursue something else. But hopefully all's good there.
All right, buddy. I'll see you next week, man.
All right, Bill. Thanks.
Thank you, sir.